I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, many thanks, and it's good to be here.
This is probably something you've not really addressed before, but how do our listeners make sure they don't overpay for a commercial property?
Well, in answer to that question, the first thing you need to understand is that this topic is not about you paying too much. Rather, it's the need to make sure that you have available cash resources to match the specific property you're looking to buy. And therefore, before making any purchase, you need to address two of the greatest dangers looming for even some of the most seasoned professional investors.
And you mentioned there are two things they need to be wary of.
That's right. You see, as a commercial property investor, you find yourself overestimating or sometimes even underestimating the true amount of money you have available to invest. And, I mean, just imagine the disappointment if you fail to include the full equity stored in various other existing properties that you may own. I mean, you may have other properties mortgaged, but over time, the amount of equity that you have available in those properties has actually grown quite a lot. And you now might find it's the right time to actually refinance them and release available equity that you can move on and use for further investments. Alternatively, you may have an unencumbered residential property, it might be a beach house or whatever, which would allow you to set up a line of credit to again release some equity that you could go off and invest in commercial property.
And the other concern?
Well, the other problem you could face is forgetting to properly allow for your acquisition costs. I mean, things like stamp duty, legal fees, valuation of the property, and so on. You see, some people simply apply the lender's loan to value ratio to the amount of cash equity they have available. And they totally overlook the need to cover the add-on costs relating to the purchase itself. Therefore, you need a simple process to help you come up with the right answer. And that's exactly what you have at your fingertips using my investor tool, which is called Assessing Your Purchase Power, which is part of my Property Edge website. And what you could do is go across to the website now, property-edge.com.au, and you can simply plug in the respective details relating to the various properties you've got and the mortgages that exist over those properties.
Perhaps you could explain the logic behind this investor tool you have.
Okay, well, for the moment, let's assume that you have established how much equity you have, either in cash or through a line of credit. And by way of example, let's say you have $300,000 available to invest. And for your intended next purchase, you're planning to borrow 70% of its value. So in that case, you will need to come up with 30% of the purchase price by way of equity to complete the deal. Now, based on simple arithmetic, it looks as though you're in a position to purchase a property for $1 million. In other words, the $300,000 divided by 30%, that calculates out to $1 million. But what about the acquisition costs? As I said, stamp duty, legals, valuation, and so on. Now, how you can quickly calculate that without a spreadsheet and every time you look at a new property, and that's where that tool comes in. And there's a simple way of doing it, you see. My suggestion is that you allow 8% for your acquisition costs, the stamp duty, which is the largest, that's 5.5% of the purchase price. Now, in practice, you'll find that the figure for the acquisition costs will generally end up somewhere between 7.3% and 7.8%. But I always like to allow 8% just to be on the safe side. Now, what you need to do is to add that 8% to the 30% equity in your calculation, and then divide that total into the amount of equity you have available. So in this current example, that would be $300,000 being the cash equity divided by 38%, which would give you a figure of $790,000. And by doing this, you know that you now have all your acquisition costs covered. However, just so we're absolutely clear on the process, if you were to borrow 75%, that calculation would be $300,000 divided by the 25% equity plus the 8%, in other words, 33% as opposed to 38%, and that would give you a figure of $910,000 that you could safely purchase a property for, knowing that you had everything covered. Now, alternatively, if you wanted to borrow conservatively and only borrow 65%, then the calculation would be the $300,000 divided by 35% being the equity plus the 8%, in other words, 43%. And in that case, you would only be able to buy a property worth $700,000 if you're going to borrow 65% and know in advance that you're going to have your acquisition costs covered. So if you still wanted to buy a property for $1 million, you would then need to have upfront equity of $380,000 so that you knew everything was covered. So that you've got your $300,000 in equity and you've got your 8% or the $80,000 covering the add-on acquisition costs. So it's important to understand how everything works. So hopefully that's given you a better overview of a simple mechanism. And that's what this tool on the Property Edge website does. It already has these things factored into it so that you don't have to go ahead and create a complex spreadsheet to cover it for every single property you look at.
Well, that sounds like a rather handy rule of thumb.
Well, it's important that you don't overcommit by failing to allow for your various acquisition costs that we've just discussed. But it's equally important that you don't undercommit by not properly accounting for all the equity contained within the various properties that you may already own. And as I said earlier, these are mistakes investors can too often make. It doesn't matter how experienced they are. Anyway, that's where my assessment tool comes in, and I'll give you the link to include below this podcast.
Yes, that would be really great. Thank you, Chris.
Well, it's my pleasure.